The piece that I read last night was the first part of, I guess, Work the Time Up, which it said is coming out in a book from Sun and Moon Press sometime called Give Them Enough Rope. And that contains most of the work immediately following the stuff that's in Wobbling. And the material that I'm going to read some of today is from a piece called I Don't Have Any Paper, So Shut Up, or Social Romanticism, abbreviated title of which is Shut Up, which is a 200-page piece, 100 units, of which I'm going to read four, I think. So I'm going to read for about 20 minutes of this, of these texts, and then I'll sit down, and I'm going to read about half of the sentences from a verbatim transcript which I made of a talk which a couple people here heard, which I gave in San Francisco in May. And that'll take about 20 minutes. So hopefully we'll have some time for comments or questions or stuff like that. So the pieces from Shut Up I want to read are Blab Mind, Blab Body, I Who Proud Drugs Be, If Pods Could Talk, and the final piece, Oh Glaze Me Big. These are all pretty much the same length, all 100 units. Blab Mind, Blab Body. Blab Mind, Blab Body, innocent surgeon bludgeon on chintz decal look, feel and smell for free. Self-expression breeds vested disinterest, contempt eats hair through your vest. This phony cast comes complete with arm sling. Spoolish smidgen point trapeze shut, how reindeer are disemboweled, improve others' junk. Why all breeders hope to grow sooty, exhuming the trap, every little breeze seems to whisper tuberculosis. I shall triumph over human lethargy. This easy for Hulk, milk, fluke, inked, fats, Christ, peg, leisure sickness. Hired, handy, negligent throat, kind of teenage trash compactor. Family's got the wrong dick on. Not so fatso. So dense pack, stacks volt toasters, worried myself into transvestitism and disheveling shooting stars. Real or replicant? Drapery as big as your mouth, simpleton. Hostesses, homework for felons. People, antidote looks like real book, but opens to reveal combination safe. Bend over again, you look so elderly. Fossbinder was sucking the Hegel out of Habermas. Dialing nice ribs through dollars, my life as a photo opportunity. Limp prom-shaking Quakers torturing household pets until they confess. Educate the missile dread in pole fuzz, read meters to deny his sovereignty, leaky primal blood chiclet homilies. Religion would be just as self-indulgent. Engage your furs without feeling. Come in and smother a roommate. Girls were slugging boys and scratching one another. Curved star monopoly tick to bleed. Atheist on all fours and the Kotex reminder. I sport a 45 spindle as a semi-permanent body feature. Soviet exile delivering his tanks and rockets. Smear me, spot me. Thump hate intermodulation to buy crouched products. Sitting ducks with red varnish volition. Ecclesiastic kit includes four adults and up to 30 ponies from pregnant male. Why corporate America was a toilet in a public building. I'll go punk. Palmy judge trick cares white folks blossoming to fire on. I do feel smothered. Gold and Dyke squirt with gray matter. Three electric jolts had his day in court. Microscope in cream digs. Slap happy because I'm not impressed. Get an affidavit. Spends 10 cents and thinks he's in love. Cool that ethics lesson. Ace bunny baton about us. Hoodlums can believe in themselves. I took child psych. I understand. Magic is the fake plastic pouting enough money. You don't say. Baby killers even welcomed at elite universities by a hung jury. Friction with butterfingers. Hoses only. Can yahoos project? All I need's a butt plate. I'll pose and you shoot. Edible miners who hack coal from seams and training bras for those unenlightened enough to be mobilizing for peace. Annul anal tulip face swamp machines. Gardening exempt, sort of like an enlarged Easter egg, more than it first beats to be. Waste your smart white shock boots to hide the dandruff. Swallow must be stopped. droll, ingenious, toxic conglomerate, apathy, suspicion. I'd like that hope in writing. No use just lying here. I might as well get healthier. Stink loads, bird effort forces us to warm up. The use of chalk, is it permissible? This probably sounds very distracted, but I'm just writing things as I think of them. They can get it out of your blood, but they can't get it out of your face. Sounds like maybe he'll make it as an Asian. You suburbanites might have to go for your hunting rifles. Arson, autocrats, an apology of the skirt. Apes, the bump was never like this. This is the year of my coffee. I can chew gum and walk at the same time. Move ahead to excellence by provoking its curls, a civilization like panty waist decertification. Dependability is a fat aspect of the surrogates. Drawn butter, the prophet armed, Pope's hoe. I gave up my culture to get better bathroom privileges. Spores. I who proud drugs be, follicles hidden, fuse box, ropish manger, nourishing suds. What has four eggs and a purse? Why I'm ditching husband number 25 to clean up after animals. If I play soccer, foreign countries will humiliate me. Lament for the VD pest, which works like record changers. Winterize face. Man makes man to the discomfort of the plant world. I regret you. And the clubfoot was good. Suburbanization of the sexual counter-revolution. He could be mere schnook, and you better know that. Know how diurnal wings every saturated loot. Dispossess the public. Sexual anorexia. This could conceivably be a mistake. Yodeling in 3D. Grainy paws. Gothic ibid. Sure. Sinus conglomerate, as though they were some sort of firecracker living like kidney victims, boarding up the doors with self-doubt, lust for evasion. Machines which can tabulate secrecy. Head extols its cavities. I sweep out the supper hatch. Ply me with nerds. Learn to urinate with style. Now, quantity is not style. It's hard to tell with all that gauze. Clowns, makeup, livid dom, nervous talk is white flight. For regret, substitute negotiations. Either rice is fattening or tropes save money because people die. Biomechanics, you're just a hard-boiled ditch. Ovaltine, operated by pull chain. Less brood, more scare tactic. Pretty far-fetched to be church linen, just like Easter eggs, but security is never at stake. Wet a volt mess that sticks ignite. Hyman revisited rent boys. Doll by doll V-rockets are not Polish peasants. Assess likelihood here. Be great. All whole, everywhere. Is less enough? Top hog through the butane milk sop. Straighten the penitentiary. Books can barnstorm a klezmer fob flush to prim junk paws before you triangulate the victims. Either culture or sulfur will take that life. Camphor babes inspect their route. Shad my cakes walk by distracting both dancerly dunce-head's ankle. Spurious addition to Batwoman's wardrobe. Reagan geek to young monk. Daddy longlegs, take the oath. Money is style in a solid state. Discuss the attractive possibilities this opens up. Spruce up the peasant's icky-poo diner entrapment. Ethnicity in a pratfall, the normative phantasma requisitioning druids. Weak knee, milk numbers. Floss, instanter, fish smuck, cozy black chip. Sparts are prone to book plates. All concealment is wrong. We build. Breast my fist. Does the vapid host deserve to die? What do the elitist preschoolers talk about? The Harley Davidson of vitamins. Her pilot light went out from embarrassment. Propositional carbon ostriches, subheading accident due to a people problem. Charm spokes, dictation bumps it. Whistle little debate club marks on the blow dry. I try not to be better. In the cadmium dark, seals suck in the nitrogen, the royal treatment or the sewage treatment, humble as bird's nest compensators. P.S. Get the first issue free. Huevos genetics, milk imposter, marquee chumps, and believe me, it's a gas. Certified floor corporate beak capitalist society, which is operational. Black box decorum. Every ideology is inscribed by the elegance. Sociocultural porkers, intent, tattoo at pugilist feeding the amps, blue cots, blue bayonets, surplus less frolicsome, snippets of pay dirt radiate guilt with low octane. If I ever transgress reality, I'll let you know. How's my little social deviation? Buoyant pets, let's de-wed, carve out linen to respect mama, rather eat garbage than beg. Feverish slugs, which roughly translated means grip the gigglers, degenerate delay, and the law after a while, stud klutz, send them help, but no troops, help to wretch. Deadly earnest sounds, accurate abortion fight, like loss of face deprograms your descendants. Dinosaur patties, diamondback suppositories, shooting an obscure dick depot, inspirational semi-satiric deus ex machina. Baldness cure is not an illness. Floss your interstate. Nothing bears any fruit right now. If pods could talk, so how about a spermathon? Liz's dick. Thank your fluke. Journey to the forbidden dish. Invest in the retarded. Such intelligent anti-intellectualism for a change. The upturned nose of the politically incorrect. Feet are pinned with light, pertinent torts on an exuberant scale. More of a mess than who can grow the most organs without any desire to keep them? Let Europe and the Middle East just stew in their juice. Donner Party picnic baskets, a Nuremberg coat rack. Hardy Boys save the third world in the comfort of their home. Bald flag does not warm up. Sponsorable mush, one-half mental insect sorority. Flagellant ribbon, chill my crack. God treats us like we were felons. Quality is depressing. Even larceny loses its shape. Now I spit up the wrists. You mean denture frogs? Stunted hammer murder leads to racism. Unrelaxed, self-contained, regimental saccharine trust, neutral defilement, sponsor one tank each, a wish, corrodes a business. Facelift pills and silicone aliens, human dudness, the same purse with the same teeth, holds baby over ledge, the demographics of polyester, lasers on the liftoff, signal the aliens for help, and vice versa. Let's do a product report on ourselves. Repetition breeds contempt. Run a risk with somebody else's misfortune for a change. Bust salute, peroxided knuckles, thought choke its object. I was contented following orders. Slow down dross, ghouls and goblins in paragraph form, nervous as a minesweeper, freaks die in the window. Mongolia returns to fashion preeminence. Cream of wheat, propaganda, pounces on 50s bliss. Your face got quite a little mischief maker. Crisco color, aggravation by details, groping for the wrong lever. Billboards tell our whining to be more self-sufficient, like housebroken midgets. I am a writer. Ample buddied eyeballs cannot return to normal shape. Gave birth at the grassy knoll. Mutual beneficialism. Certain do that. Calamity to my headroom. Worry your tonsils, nice on rack. My rubbers are on fire. Inexact surgery. Not to say calcified usual oleo whose baby's dungeon first. Actionable negligence. Pods humming will not attract taxes. Coagulate bugs like soot. So do chief justices. Disease via satellite. Dragonflies foment on our unattractive. Watch the helpless lose their hope. Breakfast jargon. Imperialist that refuses to be bored didn't bother. Hey, fuckface. Vaseline the crown prince decoy first. At the eye of the hurricane, a simple aorta throbs. Closed due to fire reform. Car pulls infant noise apart. Summons the neck. Mules could impersonate our needs. The shade of my dear beloved vegetable. The big boys will come and take your apples away. Needs an air raid. And muscles are cheap. Pretends he isn't there. Crimson lights on the military industrial torso equals book nervous. Machete is rewarded with food. Porking for peace. Dramatized droids, fetal rocker, orchids burn like crisp skin. Same new shinola, ignorant oil. I do not rob. I do not lie. I do not abuse. I see good reasons for deliberate ignorance. Description follows. Crawl into a deep freeze. Drugs make us impatient. Hair, linen, spoon, drone, stop and start. Crows freeze regardless. Which of your favorite presidents was a Vaseline freak? No less unblackened. Government is just a tax shelter. I'm white and I'm middle class, so mash me to a pulp. Heart is a target. I want a reward. Vengeance is everybody else's. Next time, wash first. Nerve, lost mind. All this slick shit. Winter Crimes Anonymous. Republican menace. Dry goods, this, that. I want a refund. Glassine pellets, which the Lord's Prayer writes on. Happy, gorgeous grunts. Isn't nature bored with your devotion? Or temptations of those posturpedic want islands to step on. Nagging Christ, darts in person butt, sloppy as the angels advertising, less imaginative ways to kill time. Certainly clod your enemies. Chin pupils, which colors are politically correct. The heat is too hurt. Look what hasn't happened. FALN. Palm opens to make a huggable embryo. I wish for crayons in your nose. This is the last of these four. Oh, glaze me big. Oh, glaze me big. Bribe on the mend. Get $1 million of business advice for $1 million. Chew gum till dream passes. Perfect ear is no alarm. Crime, teething hero God inhabits us all indifferently, especially you. Adumbrates, so thin, so light, so crisp. Fur stops a drain, as Jesus taught. Excuse my parole. Where's a battered woman? I want to beat her up. Control the budget, and you have them by the predestined? Spectacle of double-digit organs, blue-violet with a hole in its middle. One cleans up the act. You be ethno-methodology, I'll be party togs. Voter registration will not spot the rot. Teenage girls are a race apart. Open your skates. I'm just a dance world cliche. I used to have Jewish friends. Top cops stop Big Bang lasts to Ghana, Haitians on snow-dappled doorstep. I became a listener sponsorship. Welcome home the babysitter with remote control bugging devices. Tofu with a regimental stripe. Heartbreak of symbolic. Avoid poverty by cross-dressing middle class. Santa Doze, big Seventh-day Adventist observation tower, overlooks the rape victim. Littering is filthy and selfish, so it suits you quite well. Just expensive, facile. Menthol means land grab, regard foe with bliss. Spinal dogs crowd the driveway, but your car has left. Bad faith works wonders. Exit purports them. With traction, at least they know they've been castrated. Horn grabs bull. Maneuver moon into astronomy lesson. High-o silver. Cuts and bruises do not great art make. Is it falling? She preferred the ethnic heritage of the stevedores. Turncoats who's who. Mother Superior, bring my medicine. I did harp out on the overpersonalized. She broached de bride. Sources of failure, consequences for Europe. Conniption fit at Hollyfest. Table of digits. Surrounded by scavenging squirrels trapped in plastic. Utopia risks reprisals of defense fat. State, Satan's resort, construct an attractive machine. Mr. Verb and Mrs. Noun, see kin, regret passion. Bedding bone, I invite you all to Africa. Big wampum appendage, we both failed. Don't study life, get used to it. Who invented soda? Orphans are nervous. Hostess with the mustache talk to pint toad. Struggle is blessing no more. I need a limp. You make me feel like a veterinarian. Usually made of sponge cake. Tourist, spillage, coyote, deer. The agricultural shit makes everything sound the same. I'm proud. Hit me. Are you my co-rag? Tons of twine. Tips for totalizers. Sorry to throw the meat on the floor. Sprayed on the bag. Coherence is nausea. Does my dick bleed? Synapses hate grooves. They hate them. equals social relations are overrated. My mind is not here today. When did the liberals run out of your money? Defoliated hopes of the branding iron. All ethnicity is a virus. Irony is for squares with scramblers in them. What size do you eat? Falsity means timidity. Guard dog patrols mental gaps. Feeble pooch, no longer an activist. Turkey shoot in UN lunchroom. Surrogates trill the Scrooge tool. We fight basic reality. Sacerdotal, truss, cob, muscle digest. Lip balm exponentially. Have you forgotten the Visigoths? You get what you pay for. Poor cities could be bombed. Open razor soup. Previously finagled hesitation, semi-processed loungewear flirts with the sink. Europe just tofu to me. I just want to be a darling ballerina. Puppin requisite. Roll of brains sent heavenward saddle tramps in the estuary. Pterodactyls that wish for sludge. When I failed, I became non-profit. Hostage solidarity. What do you say? Hope you enjoy the snot. I might well be, with sliding drawers. Conservatives dote on battery-powered nature, naturalism. The Mambo are more precise. Look for the brand mark. Budget burns a multiple crater, a stern, to hope for plates. Did not jeopardize and expires. Literature is worse than life. So I'm going to, as I said, I went out to California this late in the spring and gave a talk on poetics and politics, poetics and the social dimension of writing, called Total Equals What? Poetics and Praxis. And I just made a transcript of the talk, and it took about 45 minutes in San Francisco. I'm just going to read about 20 minutes of the sentences that I transcribe from the talk. So it'll be a little choppy, but you'll get maybe a little sense of what the argument looked like. It begins with a little note at the top. Upset within this context, public discourse, writing in and on the social body, possibility of meaning, horizon, system, dialogue, limits, how far extended, comprehended, challenged. Today, I want to talk about the social ground and the social dimensions, political dimensions as well, of recent writing within this extended community. So I should say this, what I have here is essentially not about my work in particular, singling it out, but I was trying to talk about what I sensed as a stronger interest in dealing with social and political material in recent work of a whole range of people, some of whom are here, and others of whom are, you know, represented on the table in magazines and things. But I think these, there they are. These comments apply, you know, to some extent also to things I'm interested in doing as well. Anyway, so I want to talk about this social ground, and I want to draw an analogy throughout between language and society, both in terms of explanation of how things are understood or comprehended, and also in terms of praxis and prescriptions that derive from those explanations. First, in terms of explanation, I'm interested in the way in which recent work in this literary world suggests how both language and society can be explained and understood in a way that can guide practice. Beginning with form and politicizing that with the force of impatience, I think originally impelled this range of writing practices toward questioning tradition in styles and methodology. Because if all experience is socially constructed, then writing which recognizes that fact ends up involving itself with a more active consideration of social questions. As form itself begins to seem autonomous, the path of writing cuts beyond form and style, beyond the dynamics of any local situation or mode of address, beyond the particular partners in a dialogue, and moves toward a more critical or contextual focus on meaning itself and on this overall social comprehension. Beyond dealing with the sign, the formal underpinnings of product, recent work has tended to deal more with method as a social process, as more than a question of form, but as a question or questioning of society itself. Because meaning is constituting itself only in relationship to other meanings, and the text is not producing meanings from scratch, it's only working through readers on other texts, on other kinds of constructions, other kinds of operating arrangements, and it's transformative. It has this social material that it's working with, and that material regulates the play of differences. It provides an outside for the work. So you can think about meaning as more than this internal process of signification and look at the possibilities that are bestowed upon texts from without by sense in some broader way of looking at it than just signification, or by an organization of social value, by certain practices and priorities that are organized by society in a particular way. On their way to being spread across the surface into infinity, words and the opportunities for meaning butt up against this horizon of sense, this delimited structure which pins meanings down and regulates them imperceptibly or constitutes them. Inside, I had this image of a series of concentric circles by which to envision this, the process of meaning production. So inside, there's this possibility for a proliferation of signs, this polyphony, this anti-hierarchical play. But outside, on the other hand, there's this boundary, this social construction of consciousness, of ideology, of the frames people use to organize their experience. There's this social stage. This is a social government of meaning or value that's built up on top of the structure of the sign. From the point of view of trying to explain things and thus orient praxis, scale looks like the issue here, or one of the issues. The problem is total. Meaning equals totality, or at least it's performed on the stage of totality. And by totality, I'm talking here about the internal organization of a society, a historically constituted social formation and its organizing principles, the way it defines itself in discourse and in social sense, as well as the apparatus of domination that holds it together. Totality in that sense would suggest the roots of discourse and the system of meaning within a national social order, some overall organization of ideology or ways of making sense that underpin the variety of signifying practices or cognitive forms. So to imagine the limits of language as an active process is also to imagine the limits of a whole form of social life, in this case of a predatory social order or an interlocking network of orderings that desperately needs to be changed. We hear occasionally about the death of meaning within society, not just within certain schools of poetry. Meaning clearly didn't die, but it's possible that instead of remaining as a content that's relatively freely and easily appropriated, that instead it's become the limits of method within a social order, that it's relocated itself within certain fixed modes, and that these need to be confronted, or these can be confronted, with a more social or totalizing perspective within writing, one that recognizes the point of those fixed modes, those fixed blocks, as something that's public, a praxis which fits this more inclusive vision of what's at stake would be one that orients the privacies of the text toward a more public context to be addressed, to be intervened into, to be contested, or at least to be implicated for the reader as well as the writer. The related collective project looks like one of articulating this content of contested social themes, of a social horizon. Now, recently, I think the work or some of the work in this community has been involved with, in a direct way, with the conditions of meaning, with meta-language, both in terms of explanation and in terms of prescription, implicitly. At the level of prescription, or how do you conceive of the task confronting the writer, I think this can have to do with a desire for something like totalization, for getting a more and more total grasp. And I mean here not a complete mapping, but an attempt to go toward the outer boundaries, toward a perimetering of the field, a field which is itself more and more this total arrangement at the national and even global level, this integrated, for instance, this integrated capitalist world system, which then brings to mind the claim, Adorno's claim, that the whole is the false, or at least that the whole is open to question in a total way. So the task, beyond coding and decoding particular messages, is also one that raises the question, what is this code? How is it that these codes are constructed? I think this suggests a way to explore some of these larger frames, the limits of the normative, by foregrounding not only the shape of different stylistic traditions, but also the shape of linguistic structure, of utterance structure, of discourse structure, and of the social codes which are also providing the limits for all of those. So it helps give an understanding of the limits as well as the building blocks of those social codes. It's contextualizing and reshaping and contesting are what I'm calling totalizing. Beyond forms maximizing of act, this would be a parallel maximizing of context or of paradigm. More than just a pluralizing of voices and traditions within some taken for granted whole, and more than adding to the multiplicity of voices all situated within a system of social sense which is ungraspable, these would be ways of revealing the socially coded nature of larger units of language and of language as an overall system, and politicizing them by showing or implicating their place within one or another ideological block, which is a social block, some constellation of different social forces and social values outside. So this politicizing or this totalizing, which is a form of radical reading embodied in writing, involves a comprehension of the social limits on meaning or on social sense that are built up on top of the limits of signification, the structure of the sign. Now, meaning isn't something that precedes explanation, but it's constructed through a social method, an explanatory method out in the world that places and positions texts within the horizon of some outer social world, and in that way reveals some connection between orders of the text and orders outside the text, not on a point-by-point basis, in a referential or a naturalistic way, but at this more meta level, this systemic level, in terms of the overall organization of sense, meaning. So you'd be enabled to recognize the fit between experience, textual experience, individual experience, collective experience, and this larger envelope of meaning, and to see that fit as fidelity or as a kind of adequacy in an explanatory way, as the way things, quote, make sense, quote, or seem appropriate in the light of some specific context and acquire value in the process of framing and as they're felt to become intelligible. So you're starting with a purposive act motivated by desire, and you're relating it to this larger context, or some larger context. You're addressing this larger context. You're relocating these units within the largest totalizing of this context that's possible. So the praxis involves a contextualizing of the text, a pointing of the text beyond itself, and a remapping of the subject, position of the author, the position of the reader, in terms of that larger interaction between writing and this social body of meaning. By articulating the complexities in the horizon of social sense, writing can function as an internal explanation a pointing outward that goes beyond the naming or the appropriating of reference to some more critical characterizing of them. But in the end, the grasp of the system of society, the system of meaning or sense, the explanations from which prescriptions can directly follow, involves pointing to this complicated fabric of power relations and domination, of control systems and normalization, the prison house of language, the prison house of society. The grasp involves making that contextualization as total as possible, so that we're facing the totality, or what we think of as that, with our explanations, or with the explanations that are implicit in the work. Beyond trying to directly give body to our dreams and our visions of what we want or imagine, there's also this implicit recognition within that embodiment of what the limits are, and of what's pushing against that, and of what we therefore need to challenge and to try to get beyond. So we're trying, therefore, to get beyond established meaning from within the structure of sense, not just bypassing it with different kinds of so-called experimentalism, but trying to risk it and to reveal its constructedness, so that you're articulating some of the process by which sense gets produced in a different way. The act of enunciation becomes part of the content in a way that makes the social method more visible, and not just to illuminate the products that can be carried through that method. The frames are insecure and they can be challenged. Laying bare the device remains as a task, but it becomes a more social act of social unbalancing, of a social reflexivity of content, rather than some kind of what I have in the past called preppy formalism. Because the modernism that's at stake now is more public and is more involved with the conditions of meaning, it also becomes more social. So that if people are arguing, as some of the post-structuralists seem to, that social meaning has disappeared, then just trying to disrupt the sign system with some radical formalism isn't going to be enough. Instead, if something's going to be disruptive or disrupted, it's going to have to be method, seen in a more social sense, as the social organization of signs, as ideology, as discourse. Those are the more broadly social things that can be or need to be shaken up, historicized, politicized, contextualized, totalized, by laying bare the social devices or the social rules which are at work. So the work isn't only gesturing toward how things work, which often ends up being a capitulation to what exists, but it also tries to show the limits of that and to take a more critical stance, to ask why as well as what for. This acknowledges that if you want to talk about things like tradition, community, or experience being built on more legitimate ground, that there's really this massive job of comprehension that's on the agenda first. Getting this demystifying and distancing perspective on the prior condition is going to be crucial. And so will writing that recognizes its social ground and contests it, that contests the establishment or the institutionalization of that social ground and its point, as well as its claims to authority and the claims to the natural, which that ground often, usually in fact, carries with it. I think with a greater effort to reshape and restructure the context of meaning, it becomes easier to sustain a continuing momentum behind the growing awareness of context and what its limits are. The social point gets located as it gets challenged. So this involves testing the horizon, setting up a probe by violating codes so that each unit keeps getting reframed or keeps reframing what's going before it and what might come next as you challenge these wider and wider concentric circles of normalization or of a functional fit, almost a machine-like fit that exists within the social dimension of language. So this larger operation of the entire body of language, the internal relations of this totality, can begin to be recast. You then get something like what Ron Silliman, in his interview in the recent issue of The Difficulties, called inciting a riot within the prison house of language. This foregrounding of the limits of the possible begins to seem like a form of address, increasingly global, so that when you're articulating a specific language or experience or possibility, you're reframing it, you're framing it always by addressing this implicit and more distant other, this general system of language and the social principles and organization of meaning. The methods by which meaning arrives in a prefabricated way are challenged, and at the same time, the limits of the social order can be questioned. Writing can acknowledge how constructed those norms are, and at the same time, try to create a kind of impossibility so that you'd be able to restage the preconditions of being able to say everything. The praxis is one that implicitly recognizes the possibilities of constructing and reconstructing an entire society. It looks at the regulation of meaning as something inseparable from the way the social whole is composed, so that the way sense is regulated is analogous to the way the social body is written. By imagining a different sense, you're beginning to imagine a change also in what's possible in the practical transactions between social individuals, even to the point of implicating a different kind of subject, a new subject that could begin to coalesce or that begins to coalesce around this desire to signify more widely and fittingly in light of what is indeed happening. The meaningfulness that's embodied in ideology can get restaged so that you're starting to construct a subject built up in light of a representation or a mapping of the largest possible social whole in which action can occur. And writing becomes part of this hegemonic or almost educational struggle over the totality of social relations in its own realm. Do we need to take a break, or we just want to have questions and immediately follow? Colin?
Why don't we keep going, and then we'll take a break in about 15 minutes.
Okay, so I get the floor is essentially wide open for comments, if you want me to respond to a comment, or you just want to address the assembled, or if you want to ask me a question, or semicolon, dash, whatever, so...
I just wanted to ask, this is my introduction to your work, and when you talk about this predatory social order that needs to be changed, and I sense that your writing is distant from this predatory social order, I feel as a listener, particularly last night, I felt alternatively that the language you were using and these discourses that intersected, that difference was being neutralized, and I felt numbed. And then when I didn't feel that, I felt...
Difference in the discourses?
The difference in the discourses was being neutralized, and that the result of that was that I felt numbed. And then the other feeling that I had was of being physically assaulted. And I just was... when you talk about the sort of the ideological critique that your writing is practicing, I'm curious about what your relation is to the listener and the reader, when in fact there's a way that the kind of you talk about totalizing as a political terms, but that your writing has a sort of like totalizing, neutralizing effect on me. I don't know whether I'm making myself very clear, but that's my experience as a listener. And the other question I have has to do with sexual politics.
Sorry, what?
It has to do with sexual politics, and would have to do with what the relation your writing has to a discourse of female hysteria. Your writing is very masculine, but what the relation might be.
What the relationship between my writing and female hysteria is a topic I have not reflected upon. So I probably wouldn't have much to say on it. I don't. Was there something that came to mind?
But you deal with sexual hysteria. I mean, it's part of your content that you're sort of scrambling in a lot of times. Very, I would say, almost humorously, except it's you're horrified too by the ads you see and the sexual postures that you see around you. Obviously.
Right. But I mean, something specific. I thought you were aiming towards some more theoretical point about female hysteria.
Yeah, the notion of this, like the subject of a female hysteric writing would be placed in sort of the space between this excessive writing. It would be sort of the subject would be found in the kind of interstices or something.
Uh-huh.
And that sense of this new subject speaking, this female subject that hasn't really had a voice, seems to me to be related to your very masculine voice of excess. But the effect of that excess is very different for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just.
So the excess in the female hysteric model you're talking about occurring in the interstices. So then, if you have a masculinist hysteria. Verging on excess, then the excess then is not in the interstices, but it's in the grid itself. Then it's like on the grid line. So it is the grid line. It is gridlock. You know, it's like the
but
confrontation
it's, I think
with.
It's probably a dynamic of power that she refers to. That is to say, if I understand what you mean by this, female hysteria might be recessive and pull away, whereas yours seems assaultive, which is her initial.
I don't know. I don't think female hysteria would be recessive.
But it wouldn't have, as I understood what you were saying, it wouldn't have the assault.
I hope someone will attack Charles on this point.
As I understood what Janet said, it wouldn't have the assaultive quality.
Yeah.
So there'd be some difference in terms of the directional.
So I wonder if the opposite.
Female hysteria is often thought to be self-destructive.
Right. But if the opposite of this assault might be a kind of dwelling in the interstices. You know what I mean? The alternatives don't have to be assault and recessive. It could be more a more confident self-situatedness within these interstices that's sort of there, dwelling, you know, that then allows it to be opened up later instead of just being coming directly at you, maybe. So maybe there's that difference.
Can you elaborate on what your intention was in the second question?
Yeah, I guess
really
it was
understand.
Different. It was a different relationship to power, I think, the language, and to the possibility of speaking, and also to access to different discourses.
Mm-hmm.
That your writing depends upon a certain familiarity and a certain facility with a number of different discourses. Some of them are very much part of our everyday life, and some of them aren't. And I think that there's a way that your work plays with certain kinds of authorities, and I guess it's still circling around this question of whether your work is a sort of retranslation of sort of these predatory, whatever you call it, this predatory social order, or whether it has this implicit critique. I guess that's.
Mm-hmm. A retranslation that's contaminated by to the point that it can't operate as a critique.
Yeah.
And how's that linked up with sexual politics?
Well, just that a woman writing what I would consider to be sort of excessive discourse
mm-hmm.
would have a very different relationship, I think, to subjectivity and to the whole notion of rewriting and having access to all of these other texts,
mm-hmm.
intertexts and everything.
Yeah.
So that there would be a different relationship, a different power relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is very much like a recent discussion of David Solly's paintings in New York, and the question, in a nutshell, in one mouth. No, it seems to me like, is it a sexist image or is it an image of sexism?
Yeah, but I think that women can have that same access. I mean, what I thought of last night when I heard Bruce Reed's first time was Kathy Acker, in a sense of I mean, I don't know what your relationship is towards her work and that kind of stuff, but in the same thing of taking texts and disassembling them and then reassembling them. I mean, a lot of the problem with female, with the position of females in society.
Whoops.
And just to interject, though, on that, and also your point.
Wait, I don't think he was finished, Charles.
Sorry. Yeah, is that, especially now with hopefully things changing a bit, as far as the patriarchy goes, is that women can get more access and they can have that kind of, the access to discourse and the ability to use it.
Well, I think she was saying that they have access to this multiplicity of discourses, but that in their work it would be embodied in a very different, I mean, you're implying that it would be embodied in a characteristically different way, maybe. That there would be some kind of, you know, like a lineup where that feminist text, feminine text would fall in one category of ways of dealing with this issue and that men's text would. I mean, that sounds totally, you know, sensible. Makes sense. I don't know what the differences would look like, though.
I think it's a characteristically different way. I don't think it's a genetically different way. I think it's a way that the social structure makes it possible.
Right. Genetic is, of course, out. We're not.
Okay,
I mean, I'm not an essentialist feminist theorist. Yeah. So, my position tends to be anti-essentialist. And pointing to the constructiveness of those differences. So I'm not suggesting anything is genetically imposed, you know. But I think things can be, you know, deformities that are the product of socialization become equally characteristic of categories of people, you know, sadly or excitedly, whatever. So, you know, it makes sense to me there would be characteristic differences in the way this issue is dealt with by male and female writers. I wouldn't be the one to be able to lay it out, though, what that would consist of.
Bruce, I think that one of the interesting things in her question, which hasn't been dealt with yet, is not the interpretation, but the sense of affective component of your presentation. I think that's something that's central, the notion
the first
of blankness,
thing she was talking about.
Of a blanking out affect, and you know, the way that might sort of relate to not an interpretation, but a...
Right. Well, there you get a real different sense, I think, or you can, between reading things on the page and also hearing them. There is something a little assaultive even about a public performance situation, I find, you know.
Well, there's,
which I can, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in playing off that in a way.
This came to mind in terms of an article in recent October from the Bataille School of College de Sociologie, discussing the term psychasthenia, kind of dropping of erotic potential, and this was being discussed in terms of imitation, that imitative acts like imitation of the metaphor was insects imitating their surroundings, and this was being related to a kind of dropping of potential psychological, of charge, dropping of psychological charge. You know, I wonder if there's a kind of dropping of charge in the imitative level of your work. That is, you're imitating this social reality, and at the same time, it's conveying this affect of blanking. I don't think this is a question of signification. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
If you want to talk about
practice,
there's something going on in terms of a relationship to the objects of the culture that you're to some extent imitating in your, you know, in your. You know, in your discourse.
Right. Well, there is this kind of show and tell quality.
Well, you're being this producer of these significations in the sense that you're
right.
A generalization of the culture.
Right.
And then that has an affective component which
right.
might be likened to this dropping, this blanking.
Well, I guess the thing that I would wonder about really is whether it's possible to get a grasp or to push a grasp of that broad a field of social phenomena without, to some extent, there being this trade-off where the differences do get, to some extent, neutralized on first hearing or first reading. It just, you know, that it all kind of blanks out. Whether that's something intrinsic to this effort of getting that broad a range so that you can't focus. It's a kind of focus question. Or whether, in fact, you know, other people have readily figured out how to do that without those differences being ground down or being neutralized, and that ingenious discovery or something is simply not present in my work. You know, so I don't know whether it's a pitfall of this hope that, you know, is in this work, or whether it's just something, you know, a particular problem I have in being able to write. Ron.
Yeah, I'm curious about how you relate these questions to your concept of totality and totalization, because listening last night, actually a little more clearly than today, I really had a strong sense of something I've been sort of trying to get hold of in your work for the last three or four times I've heard you read it in person. And it seemed clearer to me because I was taking notes and thinking about this, and I went to the reading thinking about, well, what would happen if I looked at this? And I really have a strong sense of the way, particularly last night, but also today, the way in which the reading is really situated in the social body of the listener, rather than creating a persona and situating it in you, or creating either an exposition or a plot and situating it over in some third place.
Right.
And it's created by the use of a lot of sentences with the words you, often in the areas of commands, plus your interstate.
Mm-hmm.
At one level, it may just be three words, but another level creates an entire rhetorical structure which implies a power relationship, as does any sentence that begins "Hey, fuckface."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are whole
or any sentence that ends actually, as that one did with "Hey, fuckface." Yeah.
Or are you correct? I mean, you're continually bringing up the presence of the listener to the awareness of the listener in a way that really brings up, I think, all of those social relationships, which are power relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the ways that you do it and approach it that makes it effective, I mean, people actually respond to it, is you destabilize their own sense of stability. And that involves making them feel vulnerable and sometimes feel attacked and sometimes feel questioned in a variety of different ways. And some of those are, I think, direct, and others of those are coded and ironic in the way that, you know, question of is it sexism or is it a portrait of sexism come into it. But it seems to me that that's actually a very different project than at least my understanding of what totalization as a project or as an aspired method might entail. Since it seems the problem I always have with totalization is that every time I've seen totalizing activities, they occur through a repression or amnesia. I mean, the daily newspaper presents a total image of the universe, right, which is entirely false.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm getting at all.
And I'm trying to find out how to connect up what you're doing, which seems to me, I mean, I guess I'm arguing for liminality here. You know, starting from a very specific locus, which is the body of the reader, the body of the listener,
mm-hmm.
and going from that to a concept of totalization that somehow would be different than the kinds of totalization that operate by redaction and suppression, and at the same time brings in more than just that body of the reader.
Right. Well, I think one question has to do with my sense, just that I briefly talked about in the paper, of totalizing as this constant framing of specifics, of specific opportunities against these social backdrops. And I think that, to me, is the way in which, if I'm operating with the social reader, the social body of the reader, the way you're suggesting, in this destabilizing way, then I think the more interesting question is, how is the destabilizing working? Right? Because it's not operating simply by you know, specifically setting up some individual, either in me or in the reader. I think it is the destabilizing occurs through this framing process. That's why there might be this sense on the part of the reader of being destabilized. But it's because there is this attempt to you know, relocate things always against this pretty confusing variety of different discourses, which do link up, and they do link up specifically around the question of power.
I think the neutralizing itself is a part of that destabilizing process.
It might well be. The neutralizing thing, of course, is not something that I find in the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I sense in me. I mean, as a reader, I feel assaulted by my work. you know. And I do it when I'm writing it and when I'm reading it. I mean, you know, it functions for me in the same way, you know. But when it functions for me, I'm not feeling numbed out or I don't feel like the edges and the cuts between these varieties of social phenomena are flattening out at all. It's, you know, I feel like I'm sitting on a bed of needles sometimes, you know, more like that. Well, they're equally sharp, but I can tell when the one's going into the left shoulder and when I'm getting it in the, you know, in the spine, you know, or something. There's a difference.
I felt a recognition.
What, Colin? What should we do? You want to take
a question? And then I should get this.
Okay.
I just want to say that I felt a recognition.
I want to get Steve's comment to them. Okay, go ahead. Jerry.
The processes that critique, the kind of, the way you're using the language, I recognize that in my reading of any newspaper or of any day or of any language event.
Huh.
And your writing is a focus of something that I think an audience can recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that level, there's no, you know, I'm not feeling bowed. I'm brought up to that and, you know, armored with that.
Uh-huh. Let me get Steve.
Yeah, one is a very simple question. I wanted just to add a comment. One thing that I feel we have to guard against here is not to forget the polydimensionalities of this type of writing. You know, like what I particularly enjoyed here is how what has come out of here is potential, and almost like a kind of a, what Jerry was saying, sort of like a recovery by representation. You know, I thought what Janice was saying and what Ron addressed is another particular issue. You know, it's like that physiological location of the reader, and also that other area, which is how this writing, and as far as I can see, all writing involves a modern construct of a reader,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is brought either explicitly or implicitly. So I personally found the whole thing very rich. The question is a question regarding translation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this, is I'd just like to ask you, could you envision this work, say, translated into Norwegian? What problems would you have with the syntactic, semantic problems?
I think they would be more cultural problems in the translation. You know, finding that equivalent vision, envisioning of what that social order might feel like, look like. You know.
Not so much Norwegian, but non-capitalist, you know, like,
right, tribal, right?
Tribal language, for instance,
right.
I think would be untranslatable.
The autobiography of the the native oppressed and bored by all the happy communitarian possibilities given to her or him by her or his tribe. You know. That's the kind of literature we don't have a lot of, as you know. But
the disaffected
right,
members of tribes.
The alienated tribes person. Right.
Right. No gripes are expressed in the anthropologist.
That's right. okay, that guy,
I just wanted to have
Bob Perlman.
One quick comment to get it down to something very specific. I mean, I noticed you had a quite, I think, quite coherent practice with pronouns. That the you was very assaultive. The you was often extremely aggressive, and you were, you know, quote, you, was really a sort of cultural, a product of. It was a cultural deformation. It was like you're talking to the woman who says, MasterCard, I'm hungry, and you're addressing, you know, you, right? So to speak, right? You know what I mean? Sort of pure representation of the culture. The I thought was very ironic and almost slapstick and inflicted by these problems, but not defined by them. And then there was a little bit of a we, which was slightly sort of utopian, what we should do, what we are doing, community. And it seemed like those separated out quite specifically.
It's not. I mean, it's not as cut and dry.
No,
I think
no,
those
not,
are those. Those tendencies are probably there in the pronouns. One thing about the you. Sometimes the you feels to me like it's a, you know, direct address to the person reading, and other times it seems like an intimation of a possible reply by the reader to something else that's coming down on her or him. You know, so sometimes it's just kind of command sense of you do this, or you're ordered around, pushed around, where you feel like the you that's being addressed is, you know, the person, and their, you know, authority structures are coming down them. And other times it's a kind of rehearsal of the reply by the reader. In other words, you would be like, you know, more in the "hey fuck" phase category. You know, like,
oh, you mean like the reader saying back to you?
That's right. Talk back.
You know what I mean? I see.
Whereas then the you is not.
I think a lot of readers heard that as directed to them.
No, a lot of times it was, and other times it's the reply.
Well.
Okay, so I guess we can have some more coffee now. Okay. So thank you.